This is the regular meeting of the Improvements Committee of the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District of February 2nd, 2021. First thing on the agenda is comments from the public. If you would like to speak at this time, please raise your hand or use the chat room.
I have no chats. I have no hands up.
Okay. Then let's move on to the monthly updates, Paul.
All right. Good morning, everyone. So heading on to our monthly updates, I'll skim through them pretty quickly. The information's here in the packet, so you can read it at your leisure, but if you want, I can read through everything in detail. Just wanted to touch on that the utility staff is beginning to complete the capital improvement project or capital replacement project, which had been CRP, of replacing dry barrel fire hydrants throughout the district. And so far they have gotten four done and they're doing a very good job while doing that. And so I'm very pleased with their work so far. And the good weather helped cooperate with that. And then I wanted to, in the packet there, you can see our hyperlink to our website that I have updated the development project updates. So if you want to see the full list of all the development going on in the community, you can go to our website. And in that update, I have all the maps that show the areas of where everything's going in more detail in the those map plans for the lots. And with that said, moving on, within the Murrieta Gardens project south of Highway 16, the Murrieta Gardens Legacy Villas and Suites lot, that project plan's been approved, but no start date given. Obviously, I believe with the weather being the factor there. Murrieta Gardens 1-2 infrastructure, nothing going on with that. It's just that the basin's still, that's not part of the basin, but actually with part of that, some work did go on a sewer line, a private sewer line that would serve lots 9, 10, 11 went in with review by the district for that installation. And the marketplace, that just notes that the drainage basin there is still functioning as a best management practice under their SWIP program, which is required for their construction, continuing construction there within the Murrieta Gardens. At lot 9, the Taco Bell, no update, but the information there from the last update is that the developer reports this project has been approved by the local CPAC and design review updates submitted to Sacramento County. And moving on to lot 10, that basically plans are ready for getting signed off with Coastland. And I think they submitted those last Friday to Coastland's office. However, Coastland's office was closed. So I think they're having some coordination for getting actually physical signatures completed on their Mylar set of plans to finalize those. And also for lot 11, that project reports that they have received fire department approval and that their architect is providing some information to Coastland Engineering as it relates to the grease interceptor for that item. And once the questions with the interceptor are resolved, then the Coastland will look to sign off the plans and then that project can look to potentially provide a start date. Moving on to the Riverview project in Rancho Murrieta South. There's a lot of review going back and forth between Coastland and the project's engineers. Excuse me. Again, this project's really looking to get their grading done this summer and spring and summer and build some lots. Amelia, if you could scroll down a little bit. Just scroll down until you show the site there. So that whole site they want to grade out, and then those pink sites are the ones where they want to build some homes. So it's still going through a mass grading plan review. A second submittal of that came back to Coastland on January 25th. And so Coastland's going through that among some other items that they're under review with. It relates to their water study and storm drains studies. And they've provided some back and forth comments as it relates to that, those plans going on. And then I'm still waiting on the project. You can just stay there, Amelia. I'm still waiting on the project providing a sewer modeling back as it relates to where the entire site's going to be feeding into a manhole that we have concerns with as it exists. So just waiting for some modeling results to see what and if there's going to be any impacts from the entire Riverview site there. And so we'll have to deal with that as that becomes available. And also as part of this entire packet, we provided the conditions of approval and mitigated monitoring and reporting plan. And Tom and I are going to have a meeting on the 4th, which I believe is this Thursday, with Sacramento County's Planning Department to discuss the COAs and MMRP for this project and who's going to be responsible for what. And scrolling down, Amelia, to the business park. So at the end of Cantova Way there, that project's nearly complete. They're in the process of finishing the construction of their buildings. There was a small water leak on one of the newer connections over there last Friday. So staff closed that off Friday afternoon and in coordination with the project. At the retreats east and north, the project reports that it's being redesigned by the developer. And so we've heard from KHOV that they were looking to purchase some lots there if they haven't done so already. So it looks like that project's moving forward. And on the Rancho
North, I have an update on that.
Oh, please, Mr. Sullivan, please comment.
That the 62 lots for retreats north and east are in escrow with KHOV.
Okay, excellent. All right. So I'll have that for an update for the board packet that I'll update this. On the Rancho North development, they're still looking into, I believe they are nearly complete with their greenhouse gas study and traffic mitigation study. Do you want to comment on that at all, John?
Yeah, the greenhouse gas study isn't done yet because the traffic mitigation data in regard to vehicle miles traveled is just getting to them now. So they're probably 2 weeks away from, maybe 3 weeks away from being done. So that's probably the end of February now instead of what we were hoping for was the 1st of February. So that's probably end of the month before that's done. That's the last item before we request the NOP.
Okay, thank you. And moving on to the Murrieta Hills Estates. So I went to Sacramento County Planning's website to look up information on that. That was, and I noted, it was formerly known as the Residence of Murrieta Hills East. That is the project that Mr. Kyle had been discussing with our board at a period of time and with former general manager Mark Martin and then subsequently with Tom Hennig for potentially changing up that site. So what I have here in the packet is what I could find from Sacramento County's website that they had submitted some information. But if you scroll down, Amelia, you can see where this project site's located, just east of Stonehouse Park. It lists it as being on hold. And if you scroll down a little more, Amelia, you can see what their proposed lotting plan is that they've submitted. And this project is listed as being in the pre-application stage with Sacramento County Planning. And their last letter back to the project was on January 16th, requesting more detail on the lots and a cultural resources study and tree exhibit and arborist report, and noting that the project is going to be subject to CEQA if and when it proceeds. And that's it as it relates to development updates. Any questions?
Yeah, Paul, this is Martin.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned a private sewer line in Murrieta Gardens area.
Yes.
Why is it called private?
It would be under the ownership of the HOA there at Murrieta Gardens. That's why it's considered private. It wouldn't be a district maintained sewer line. We do inspect and make sure that all connections that connect to district infrastructure are done per district standard. And so that's why we provide inspection for any time, whether it's a homeowner or a commercial site making a connection to our system, that we have to make sure that that's done correctly.
Does that mean there's only one connection to the district in there? This is like a bunch of laterals?
It's not really like a lateral. It's a little different that it's like a sewer, like what would be normally like a main sewer line. However, it's within these private lots footprint and would be feeding into a district manhole, which would then be considered the point of connection to the district's infrastructure.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
On the Murrieta Hills Estates, are there some utilities stubbed in there or nearby?
So on Puerto Drive, there was, I think, some stubs there. So there's some blind flange connections where it's assumed that water would be routed out in that direction somewhere at some point in the future. Okay. But nothing as far as like actual utility connections that I'm aware of.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Looks to me, Paul, and this is as I recall, I zoomed in on the date on this map, and it's pretty recent. Like, this is just something that's been submitted to the county, and it's something new that I've never seen. But what pops out of, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, there's a lot of hurdles based on that letter back from the county, but it looks to me like we would have some concerns about the drainage on these four parcels. Because if the intent here is to drain these parcels towards that cul-de-sac and towards Puerto and hook up to our drainage system, I can't believe that was a part of the original plan here.
Yeah, we'd have to see whatever submitted to us if and when this, this lotting plan holds true. I mean, by the time it gets to us, this might be completely revised. But you're absolutely right. When the older set of this plan was assumed to provide some water quality detention basins, I think one or two, for the entire site before feeding down at Para Drive in Guadalupe, where the crossing would come in. So it's remained to be seen what they'd have to do based on whatever their lotting plan ends up being, but it would be something.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is interesting to try and rezone it to 2-acre parcels. It's an interesting project. Yes. Any other questions or comments on monthly updates?
I do have comments. May I read them from the top?
Certainly.
From Les Clark. comments on social media about reclaimed water to RMCC, the loan for the pump repair, stating community does not need Rancho Murrieta Country Club and can dispose of all the water to Van Vleck, I think is what he's getting at. The next comment is on the fire hydrant item. Get the word out about obstructing the hydrants with vegetation. Use established communication network, plus request assistance from RMA. Jim Crowder says, Les, was that brought up during the discussion when CSD approved the loan? Will RMA be included in the talk with the county planning department? So friends, I'll read the next comment and then maybe Les and Jim will elaborate. Les says, on Murrieta Hills, CSD should determine extent of cost incurred resulting from previous master plans and inform owner those costs will be recovered despite plan changes. So Les, would you like to begin?
This is Les Clark. My first comment was really related to public comments, just to bring up the issue of the community chat about using reclaimed water and the loan to the country club. So that was just an item for people to consider. Community chat is that CSD does not need the country club to service or to dispose of reclaimed water, that it can all be done on Van Vleck. I don't think that's correct, but you can deal with it. And the second item was just that try to get the word out to the community, including RMA, about obstructing fire hydrants. That's important. I see a lot of that, as Paul has brought up in his item. And then the third item on Murrieta Hills, I believe that the master plans for the water treatment plant and the wastewater treatment plant include costs for upgrading for capacity for the projected lots for the previously projected lots for Murrieta Hills. And now that this substantial change may have an impact on that, a reduction in demand, but the costs associated for the master plan and and improvements on the water and wastewater treatment plants should be considered and recapped. That's it.
Paul, do you want to address any of that?
No, I don't. No, I'm just kidding. I'll start from the fire hydrant item. Well, actually, no, from the Van Vleck disposal. So as it exists now, no, that's not correct. The Van Vleck wouldn't have all the disposal available that we'd need. On the fire hydrant item, yes, we could do a little more on that. We do go out and when we see it, we provide a notice that we have created to those residents that have landscaped and obstructed around fire hydrants. And that's in coordination with the Sac Metro Fire Department's standard to keep the fire hydrants visible, clear, and accessible. And we do our best to explain to the residents it's to their benefit to keep their houses from burning down. We've gone out and cleaned out a lot of those sites as well. And one about the loan, I don't have information to comment on.
The costs involved with the wastewater treatment plant for this and the change in zoning for this development.
Yeah, so this project site was included, I believe, in the various FSAs as noting that they would have to incur, if and when they proceed, they have to incur the costs for water treatment plant expansion and any disposal costs related to sewer treatment and disposal. Treatment, storage, and disposal.
Is Tom with us now?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tom, you want to chime in here?
Yeah, the costs that are associated with Murrieta, or the residences east and west, and in this case east, they remain the same. If they build on 99 lots or they build on 5 lots, the cost of initiating that development is exactly the same. As soon as they request service, that money is due.
I'm sorry, Tom. Excuse me. This is Les Clark again. I was talking about Murrieta Hills Estates and reduction in the significant number of residential lots from the previous master plan to 4 lots for this proposal.
Yeah, and that's Les, as far as I know, this is just a proposal to change the name from the Residences East to Murrieta Hills Estates. And this is just a discussion with the county. Nothing formal has occurred. As the county sees it, as I understand, that property is still dubbed Murrieta Hills East, and it is still a 99-lot home residential plan. That has not changed. They're just making proposals.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
And as far as I want to say something more about the Van Vleck question, the first question. The Van Vleck spray field, and Paul, I'm not putting you on the spot, but I think the capacity of Van Vleck is like 20% of our total wastewater disposal need. And if you look at the plans from a bunch of years ago, you know, the Stonehouse Park idea and some of these other major developments, they all have a percentage of what we need to have as disposal area. The country club eats up between 550 and 600, and let me know if I got it right, but acre feet of water per year. And I think on Van Vleck, we are somewhere around 75 to 125 acre feet of water. Does that sound accurate, Paul?
Somewhat in the ballpark, and we don't have the infrastructure actually existing to push that much water out onto Van Vleck, and even if we wanted to. Their site as it currently exists is only 95 acres in total, and you can't exceed agronomic rates out there, so you can't just flood it continuously. You can't have standing water under conditions that exist with WDR, waste discharge requirements for that site. And this is all kind of laid out in our master reclamation plan that's on our website. And if you go to administration or district documents and go to utility publications, that's where that would be located. And so it's not a simple turning of a switch like some people think.
Can I chime in here?
Go ahead.
The state water resources control board requires the country club to take the recycled water. That's the place of application, the primary place of application.
Gotcha. Thanks, John. So on the fire hydrant issue, Tom or Amelia, I would like that to be a topic at the very least at communications.
Okay.
So we get it into the next newsletter, and then maybe in security. Maybe this is something that if there's something totally egregious and we can't get people to respond, maybe this is something that that we have to address through security.
Okay, we can look into that. And Paul, we have a map of all the fire hydrant locations, I'm sure. So we can start maybe zero in on the offending fire hydrants and see what we got to do to make them more available.
Yep.
Okay, Amelia, any hands up?
Well, I just wanted to go back and make sure that Mr. Crowder didn't want to add to his comment.
This is Jim Crowder. No, I didn't want to add to my comment. It was just more for information because I wasn't able to zoom in on the previous board meeting. So I'm up to speed on what we can and can't do with the reclaimed water.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Then let's move on to reviewing the district's water shortage contingency plan. Paul?
All right. Thank you. Yes. So if the recent rains didn't end up materializing here, we'd be in a pickle of a situation along with everybody else in this area. And luckily the rains have showed up. We've been diverting, utilizing our two 125 horsepower pumps to storage at our Calero Reservoir. So we don't, as it stands right now, we don't have an issue. If all of a sudden it goes hot and dry after today, then we may. Then we'll have to kick on our higher rate pumps and pump more water more quickly into our reservoirs for storage, and then incur potential costs that go along with it as conveyed in the graph. If you scroll down a little further, Amelia.
You're getting there.
See that giant spike there? That's after the drought in 2013, we had, that 2013-14 drought area. We had to kick on our high rate pumps, and that's what happened to our electrical costs as a result of that. So if that happens, then we'll have to roll that into our budgeting for next year. So this
Paul,
is
Paul, can I ask a question? This is John.
Yes,
back
sir.
In 2014, when you look at, you have a line between the years there, it looks like. So would all of those monthly totals be totaled up to what the year cost because of going to the pumps, or is that all the power that we buy for the whole year for the entire, or is that just raw water pumping costs?
That's just Granley's pump station electrical costs. And it doesn't, it's not like when you turn the switch on and that power spikes, that, it's just a direct usage cost. The big thing with SMUD is they have this demand surcharge that rolls forward, and that's why it makes that whole graph swell as it relates to the cost there. And so
it's 3 to 5 times more expensive to turn on the 500s than it is to just run with the 125s. Is that what the graph's showing?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So just back to the water shortage contingency plan, at this point, it's just for informational purposes and just having it here in our packet readily available for the public consumption and the improvement committee's consumption, that if we needed to, we'd be initiating some of these steps in this water shortage contingency plan to conserve what water we do have in our storage reservoirs. Again, it's not just necessarily for drought conditions, which is what it's primarily for, but if we had any issues in our water system, such as main breaks, distribution failures, or anything that caused issues with our supply, then we'd have to implement this plan to conserve our water. Any questions on it? Like, there's a chat, Amelia?
Amelia, any hands up?
When can CSD implement a tier billing system? Some ratepayers are not following our state mandated conservation plan. If a ratepayer chooses to use too much water, they need to pay a financial penalty. And that was from Jim Crowder. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, let me comment back on that. So initially, when we looked at doing a tiered system, which a lot of other water districts do, which basically means you kind of have a flat rate, which is your fixed charge. And then you try to keep that somewhat low, but available to cover your costs. And then you'd have a first tier of rates that, would be normal usage. And then the second tier that could be, what be considered somewhat excessive. And then there, some districts even have a third tier, which would be, absolutely excessive water use. And on those first, second, and third tiers, the rates, go up considerably. And the goal of those tiered rate systems are to make sure that districts conserve water, because kind of the thought is, and it's shown true, that people tend to not really pay attention to their bill unless it's really, really pops out at them. And the only thing that really pops out at them is if they use an excessive amount of water, then they somehow look at their bill and say, hey, this isn't what it's normally at. And then they pay attention to it. And then they go and pay attention to their water system. So when we look to implement a tiered rate system years ago, and I can't recall, I think it was like 8 years ago or something like that, seven thereabouts, there was a handful of people who had very large estate lots, and they were very vocal and upset about the system being unfair to them. And so the district at that time decided just to stick with a flat rate charge and a single rate use charge, and has been so in that mode ever since. But if we go to an urban water agency, and which means once we get over 3,000 connections, and we have to start really pushing conservation very hard, that might be something we need to consider at that point.
Well, and the other issue there is, and this is really a conversation for the finance committee, but at some point, if we conserve, the crazy thing here is if we conserve a lot of water, we don't take in enough revenue to pay our bills. So then we would end up having to increase our rates. It's kind of counterintuitive, but it's not as simple a conversation as one would first think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. So it's, you have to be able to cover your costs, and you know that's what our budgeting we try to do every year, is try to have a zero line budget to cover our costs. And And obviously, weather is a big wild card with that. So if and when that does move forward, some districts have rate stabilization funds that they collect to balance out those years, so that if there's issues where it's a drought year or a very wet year, that, you know, it balances itself out and the districts are able to cover their costs.
Anything else out there, Amelia?
No.
All right, let's move on to the Laguna Joaquin related activity. Who is this you, Paul?
I believe it'd be Tom.
No, it's me. Tom. It's Tom. Okay. This is Tom Hennig. And I just wanted to keep it on the map that we're consistently working with the RMA and paying attention to what they are planning to do or not do with Laguna Joaquin. We had, most people know that we put together an RFP to hire an environmental team to kind of look at it from all angles, from where the water comes from, the drainage system, and treating Laguna Joaquin to eliminate, ideally, the midge flies. But from a district standpoint, as you can see, Laguna Joaquin is performing quite well as a detention basin for any sort of rain event. And so we're kind of, the ball is in the court of the RMA as they ponder and work out whatever solutions they have come up with. And so right now, I just want to keep it on the agenda to make it a discussion item. And we're kind of waiting for the RMA to come back to us with what they have in the way of a plan. If we're able to do maintenance on it, like we do maintenance on our normal detention or our normal drainage areas, we will. When it's full in the state that it's in, we look at it as an operating detention basin that during a rain event performs quite well. We look through all the drainage. Paul and I went out with the last rain event and we looked at all the major drainage points and everything is functioning correctly. So again, We're kind of a wait and see with the RMA. They know it's a priority for them, and we're waiting to see what they come back to us with any sort of requests. Any questions?
Okay, hearing none, let's then move on to discussing the Riverview conditions in the MMRP.
Okay, this is my item as well. And, you know, I had put it on the board agenda last month to kind of go over these items. It's a set of documents that I've just recently put my eyes on. And as I went through it, I realized it was a much bigger issue than just a simple memo could handle. So we scheduled a meeting with the county planners, and I believe that meeting is later this week, and go through these conditions with them from a perspective of where the district's interests are. And out of the 55 to 60 conditions of approval, about 10 or 12 of them have a heavy district liability. And so Paul and I are working with the county to get a clear understanding of where we need to pay attention. So when the developer starts doing their work, we can have our assets under control, and in working with the RMA and making sure that the district interests are met on all of the points of the conditions of approval. So it's a complex document. I believe we're gonna get a lot better information after meeting with the county planners at the end of this week, and a continuous relationship with them as development proceeds. That's about all I can say about that. Is there any questions?
Yeah, this is Martin.
Amelia?
No.
Yeah, Martin? I have Jim Crowder. Looks like he has a comment. Then it's a fine line. Could a program be, oh, I'm sorry. Jim, I think I'm late reading your message. He says that it's a fine line. Could a program be designed to penalize estate lots? I think he's probably talking about the water still. And then Jim says, will the representative from RMA be involved in this meeting? So then Jim, the second comment is for the discussion about Riverview?
That is correct.
Okay. Will RMA be involved in the meeting with the county?
In the meeting we have with the county?
Uh-huh. And about Riverview?
As of now, I don't recall. I don't think so. I think this is a meeting that I called with the county planner assigned to this development. And I want to focus on the needs of the district for now. The RMA has been meeting very consistently with the Riverview developer over the past few months. And the district has not. I mean, we've met with them a couple times. And now the county appears to be more available. We're going to be able to get our head around what we need to do to protect the district assets. We do meet with the RMA on a regular basis, and I believe 2 weeks ago we met with the RMA team, the developer team, and the district team. So the discussions are active.
I do have one question. So in regards to the conditions of approval, so if I know you're trying to get that scored away with the county, that way you can determine what you're responsible and what CSD is responsible for, and probably the bulk of it of what RMA might be responsible for.
Yes, is this Jim Crowder?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, most of the conditions are related to RMA related activity. You know, we're focused on water, sewage, and drainage. Probably the most active issue right now is there's a primary location where the sewage comes in from the new development into existing infrastructure. And there appears to be a design issue that we're trying to confirm whether the system's going to perform as originally planned now that we're this close to development. And Paul is actively working with I believe it's McKay and Somps and the designers to review this particular sewage point. So water, sewage, and drainage, that's our concerns. And there's a, like I said, there's about 10 or 12 areas on these conditions of approval that we have to pay close attention to. So I believe we're paying attention to it quite well right now, and we're going to definitely get more engaged as the development gets closer.
Okay. And just one other question, that design flaw that you are bringing up, is that the one that was talked about a couple months ago, and it's, you've been staying on top of it in regards to once they connect up, I want to say on Reynoso, that it would cause a backflow of wastewater, or, you know, water going through the lines where it wouldn't, well, it'd just be too much going through the system, and it would not function at all.
I think it would function poorly in heavy use, and you are correct. That's the same issue that Paul has been working with for I think 2 months ago we brought it forward, and he continues to focus on it. With the county, we want to make sure we bring this up, as well as how we mitigate any other issues that we find like this along the way.
Okay, thank you.
So someone else had a comment?
I have a hand raised. I think it's Mr. Sullivan.
Martin had a question too.
Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, so I have provided to most everybody a comprehensive list. And things on my CSD section are the following. What is the situation in regard to the recycle water ordinance for the in-track recycle? Under one of the early items in the conditions of approval is the relocation of recycle water irrigation facilities belonging to the country club. There's a invoice that's been prepared by the country club and sent to the engineers and the developer in regard to those relocations. Condition of approval 33, 34, 37, 39, a reimbursement for disposal, MMRPs, policy HY2, HY3, and HY4 from the county are all things that should be discussed in that meeting with the county. Then there is the BR1, which is the wetlands, that's been taken care of. And there's a source control in the stormwater from the detention basin. And then there's a certification on a disposal and an access agreement. And we're happy to provide the country club or the Rancho North properties entities access to our property, because they interface with where some of these things go. We just need to know who to get that to and in what form do they want it. Those are my comments, along with somebody hopefully being able to get their hands on and post on the website the FEMA flood map, because there's an old Nolte floodplain. There's a county floodplain that was done in like 1958. And then there was another floodplain done by virtue of some other work done in the district. And it would be nice just to know where that line really is. Those are my comments that I think should be brought up at your meeting.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. Martin?
Yeah, my question was with regard to these conditions. Are there any issues that the Parks Committee needs to address?
You know, that's in my notes here, that when we're looking at this stuff, Tom, keep in mind that we do have a seat on the Parks Committee, and so we do have some, we're going to have some concerns about these conditions relating to the parks. And specifically, the one I'm looking at, and maybe RMA is already talking to the developer about this, but this the link between what they're saying is their new pedestrian bridge trail system, and I'm looking for it's under the it's under the park section, and they talk about a connection between their pedestrian trail and
the item 32. Bill.
Which one is it?
Item 32.
Well, it's in a couple different places.
Yeah, it is.
It's actually number 18A. Applicant shall install a pedestrian trail to a design approved by Parks, which Parks is the county, within the county's easement, which will correspond in length to the adjacent subdivision Lakeview Trail System. So I got to believe that RMA is taking a close look at that, because that's not a simple thing. And what occurs to me is, when is that triggered? Since Lakeview doesn't exist and that trail system doesn't exist, when are they required to provide this link in the development process? Is it out? Is it before the first house? Is it after the 50th house? Is it after the subdivision is complete? I don't think it's addressed here, and I think we need to keep our eye on the ball there.
Randy, this is Tom Hennig. I spoke with the RMA about this yesterday, as a matter of fact, on my way home, one of the representatives from the RMA. And this is a very serious subject for them. And I do know that they're spending a lot of time trying to figure it out. And when does all this take place? Because they want to do a mass grading of the whole site, the link between the link to the wooden bridge is a critical part of the infrastructure for the operation of the south to the north. And I can't speak on behalf of the RMA, but I do know that they're having various discussions on a very active basis with the developer. I will ask them to give me something that I can put into the general manager's report in 2 weeks. And hopefully this will satisfy the questions that are taking place right now. I don't know if they have a solution, either the developer or the RMA. I think it's an active discussion.
Okay.
Yep. This is Martin very again. That's a serious issue if we're going to close down that path during construction. Serious.
And I do.
Can I make a comment?
From Les Clark. Concur with John Sullivan's comments. There are a number of COAs that involve financial issues that need to be discussed. And then Jim Crowder says, is the golf cart path part of the parks development umbrella? I think that we just talked about that, and we'll move on to Mr. Sullivan.
Thank John. You. As to the on-street bike lane, the developers, engineers, McCann-Solms provided a drawing to the country club, which showed that the paved path between Riverview Park and the wooden bridge was going to be taken out of service for potentially up to 2.5 years. And of course, the country club objected and said that they could not provide alternative access on the cart paths, and that they would have to figure out how to maintain the link between north and south. And I met with county parks, regional parks, and discussed all the 18 items, 18A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, and the encroachment into the resource protection area, which is 32 PU1, which is a conflict. Some of the language that's in the conditions of approval speak to the 1979 agreement between the developer and the county, whereby the yellow bridge was deeded to the developer entity. At that time, it was the OE3. And they deeded 136 acres next to the airport for a regional park. But along with that became the controversial public access up the river clause that the county insisted on. And then ultimately the resource protection area is the area by which somebody can go publicly onto Rancho Murrieta property up the south side of the river from the Yellow Bridge, basically to the back end of Riverview, up to within 3,000 feet of the Granley Dam. And that created a lot of consternation. And there was an environmental document prepared for the resource protection area. And it said there were very, very sensitive plants and other cultural resources on the south side of the river, so that they wanted to make sure that there was a limited number of people on a daily basis that could come up the river, and they needed to do it by permit. So the developer has met with that because of this condition of approval that says that the county parks has to be satisfied in regard to that access, that I provided the information from 1979 to them. I gave them a copy of what I proposed to be the access document for people that want to come up the river. But most importantly, all these 18 items are in conflict. I want the first item, A, I want to know how they're going to do that. B, it doesn't seem like it that anybody even understands where the trails are and aren't that wrote that. And they probably, some of these trails weren't there. And then this idea that there's going to be
Mr. Sullivan,
future public access.
Minister, that is 3 minutes. And
Amelia, this is important enough that we need to hear this information.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead, John.
Thank you. Under D, it says future public access will be available to these trails within the county easement. The county easement is basically the resource protection area, but the resource protection area in certain areas is wide enough that it actually encroaches on the various parcels owned by Rancho North, the Country Club, and the Riverview development, along with that common paved path is in and out of the resource protection area. So are they saying that the public that's going to come up the river could have access to our other trails? It would basically make our other trails public if people wanted to come up the backside of the river to get on them. And then the next one is even crazier. It says that they're supposed to survey and delineate the boundaries of the county easement to reduce incidents of trespass under private property. So they're basically saying that they understand there's a risk of trespassing onto all the private lands of Rancho Murrieta by this public access clause and tying in with their resource protection area. So then they discuss parks as, you know, delineating the easement and the boundary of the easement. Well, the boundary of the easement for access purposes falls right behind the Riverview subdivision, and where that rocky outcropping is, where the kids jump off the rock, it's right about there. That's about as far as they're supposed to come up. So my contention is, and I told this to county parks, is that how are we going to end up surveying the boundary, or that they survey the boundary and we limit the people? How are we going to do that if it falls right in the middle of a piece of property that's, you can't fence off because it's in the floodplain? So they were going to get back to me on that. And then you got to deal with all this other stuff having to do with post and cable fencing and other signage down in the floodplain. They act like we can go ahead. This is just some trail. Well, you know, about every 25 years, all of it's going to get washed away down into the Delta. So anyway, you know, there are just a ton of things as to county parks and the parks committee and RMA in regard to the street bike trail, you know, the paved bike trail and all these other park issues that somebody needs to get clarified. I've asked for clarification from my standpoint because some of the property, the encroachments are on Rancho Murrieta development property from the north, and some of it is Country Club property right there at the Gore Point where it turns the corner on the paved path access to Riverview Park, you know, from the river right there. It's Country Club property, North property, Riverview property, and And it could be a mess if this isn't, you know, discussed and agreed to. There's one other requirement for there to be access between the trail system and Lakeview, as if the country club property didn't exist in between. So there is an alternate go around Karsten and then around Rancho or South Parkway over to the Lakeview property, but it's not along the river because it doesn't connect.
Okay.
Those are my comments. Thank you for the extra time, by the way.
That's all right. Thanks, John, for that. I think it's important that we all keep up to date on all this stuff, but I think we've gotten a little bit off the path of the purview of the improvements committee. My only point is, Tom, that besides the obvious sewer drainage issues, that we are a part of the Parks Committee, and so we need to understand and stay on top of these other issues also.
Agreed.
Amelia, is there any questions or comments?
I do have one more comment from Les Clark. Relating to trail public access issue, MMRP PU-1 provides vague requirements as to timing. Include the major language verbatim as a construction note on all plans and specifications. That would include the grading plan.
Got it. Anything else? Then let's move on to Reservoir Information and Education Ad Hoc Committee. I have to admit, I don't know what this item is.
So this is the ad hoc committee that was created by the board members in relation to trying to get some more information out as it relates to reservoir and reservoir protection here in the community. And their initial concern was the naming of Calero, Chesbro, and Clemenches Lakes versus reservoirs. And so this ad hoc committee was formed, and current members are myself, Joanne Brandt, John, and Linda Butler, and John Merchant, I'm sorry, and Linda Butler, and we've been discussing putting together informational items that we want to share throughout the entire community, including potential signage, and just also making sure that no invasive species get introduced, and just general overall concern with protection of the reservoirs. And so with COVID going on, we haven't met very much, and it's been a little difficult, but I just wanted to touch base the improvement committee that we are continuing to meet, and we'll be providing some information back as it's developed shortly. And that's it.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on ad hoc committee?
I don't have any.
Okay. Then let's move on to director and staff comments. First staff, anything from staff?
This is Tom Hennig. I want to compliment Paul and his team for being prepared for the heavy rains we had last week. The drainage system is operating very well. The choke points have all been monitored on a regular basis. So if a tree falls into a drainage pipe or whatever, hopefully we catch it before it turns into an event. And the operations team has done a great job. And I just wanted to publicly thank Paul for keeping on top of the staff and making sure that the system operates very well. That's it.
Great job, Paul.
Thank you. And thank you for the comment, Tom. And I also want to say RMA did a great job as well. Prior to the storm, I reached out to the country club and RMA with the forecast a couple days ahead of time, noting that, you know, it was looking like it was going to be worse than it actually ended up being. but we were all prepared and dealing with it as it came through. So everybody did a great job here in the community.
And thank you, Paul. Randy, I want to say one other thing. We had sent out a message to the county's Nextdoor account to the communities, all three neighborhoods in Nextdoor within the Rancho Marietta's boundaries, just ahead of time to remind people to, you know, monitor their leaves and their branches and such. And just another, wanted to let the Improvements Committee know that we now have that capacity to be able to send out messages on Nextdoor for district related events, such as it's going to rain a lot, please pay attention to your leaves and your gutters. So that's just informational for this committee. That's all.
Great, thank you. Staff director Martin, anything?
Yeah, I wonder if Tom could give us an update on the RFP for the consultant that helped us out with improvements.
The consultant for Laguna Joaquin?
No, the consultant, the engineering and inspection.
Oh, we have those RFPs on the street right now. I believe
the 19th.
The 19th?
Yeah.
For the engineering. So, mm-hmm. Mark, we have two RFPs on our website right now. They're both due the 19th of February. One is for engineering and inspection services, sort of what Coastland is doing now. But when we did the contract with Coastland, we didn't carve out inspection services because we did not. And this time we felt it was important to have two tiers worth of service availability as we move into further development. And then the other RFP we have out on the street is for electrical services for the district. We have a lot of aging equipment and we're spending a lot of money on electrical work, and I just wanted to get out there and get a company onto a three-year agreement so we can have some consistency and hopefully some better pricing and a better ability to budget for the electrical work that we need. I believe there's a lot of items we have out there that require a skilled electrician to address troubleshooting and repair and that. So we have those two RFPs out due the 19th of February.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. My only comment is to tell Tom how much he's appreciated. It seems like every time I come up with, to go through my notes and my concerns and questions, he's already one step ahead of me, and I don't want to have that go unnoticed. So great job, Tom. And that's all I've got. Thanks, everybody, for attending this morning, and have a great day.
Thanks.
We are adjourned.
Thank you. Bye.